Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, hour three here on a Thursday. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and Marquise with you. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45 this morning. Right now, we welcome in our buddy Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Rex, what's going on this morning? How are you?
I'm good, guys. Just, had an interesting presser last night with Gino Auriemma, as I'm sure you guys saw. So didn't necessarily expect that to break out, but Gino's always good for a soundbite, I guess.
All right, well, clue us in, clue the audience in what exactly transpired.
Well, I mean, first of all, Vanderbilt, Stephanie White's Vanderbilt team, I think could be really good this year, and that's a big jump from what they've been. But you know, they really battled, 64-51 final. But, of course, Avina Westbrook, former Tennessee guard, had her appeal denied on her waiver, transfer waiver, so she won't be able to play. So Auriemma kind of went off on the NCAA, which all coaches do, and they should, because the transfer guidelines are vague and inconsistent. But also took some shots at Tennessee, saying it was an unhealthy, situation. Took some shots at Philip Fulmer for not helping enough with this thing. So, and I actually asked him, like, when you say unhealthy environment, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I can't go into that. So, when you say stuff like that, you are now opening up a world of possibilities, when it may be something very simple. And, I think that's unfortunate that Gino Auriemma would do that. But, of course, he does whatever the heck he wants.
Joe, I mean, obviously the Titans got a bye this week and is probably much needed for this team. They need to get some teams healthy, some guys healthy, so they can make this last stretch run. But obviously everyone knows the big talking point in the NFL right now is Colin Kaepernick and, the NFL setting up, which is unprecedented. I've never seen them do this. Set up a workout on a Saturday when they usually do it on a Tuesday for Colin Kaepernick. Do you think the Tennessee Titans, because they don't have a quarterback under contract for next year, do you think it'd be good for the organization to at least send someone down there, or maybe John Robinson or Mike Vrabel go down there to kind of see where Colin Kaepernick is from a physical standpoint?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, kind of like Gino Auriemma, who's very disingenuous. This whole thing feels that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes sense to at least check it out. I know, going back, I think the Titans did not have a good opinion of him as a player. And of course, any evaluation like that, you're always wondering, okay, what is that just on the field, or how much does that have to do with what your concerns about his views and what it might do? To your customer base. But, I think it makes sense. I mean, you look at some of the backup quarterbacks in this league, watch the Detroit Lions roll with Jeff Driscoll a few days ago. I think a lot of teams would be wise to check it out, and I hope that there's at least, I hope that there's some, true intention here with this whole thing.
Joe, in general, how do you evaluate and view Mike Vrabel's second season?
5-5, Braden. I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel's evaluation. I think I asked him after last year. He's like, well, 1-9, lost 7. That's the evaluation. obviously he had a run there where he had a decision. I mean, I think three of them especially where, I'll definitely never agree with him. But he had a run there where we were questioning him on a lot of these decisions, and I think some of them didn't make sense. Look, you can't say he isn't working. You can't say, these guys aren't playing hard, obviously, after this last win. And, I mean, the move to Tannehill, I guess you could make the case you could have done it earlier, but I think some coaches may not have done it when he did it, considering everything around that. And, obviously, that has worked out. So you have to also give him credit for that. So, look, to me, it's just TBD. It's been some good, some bad, and then we'll see how they finish.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us. Joe, obviously in journalism, and I know there's a difference between true journalism, guys that are paid to cover things objectively, as opposed to, you know, the day and age of sports media where it's opinion based and it's hot takes and it's this whole embrace debate culture we live in. But we were just discussing last segment about how Tim Brando, Danny Cannell, Joe Klatt, certain guys in the college football media seem to have agendas, and some of them go out of their way, maybe others not so much. In this day and age, does that bother you? I mean, like, for you, your job is to be objective, observe, and opine. Like, that's what Joe Rexroad does when he writes columns for The Athletic. So in this day and age where, like, a Joe Klatt or a Tim Brando will say Utah or Oregon would beat Alabama on a neutral field, or, you know, Danny Cannell goes out of his way to pump up the ACC but yet bash the SEC. What do you make of the way we kind of cover sports in certain areas now?
Yeah, it's bothersome, and I do, I think with a lot of people, you know, you kind of have to say, okay, is this really that person's opinion, or is there something else behind it? And unfortunately, I think there's something else behind it too often. I think you guys hit on it last segment. Like, you know, when I listen to your show, I know you guys are saying what you think, and that's all people really want, I think, and that's what I try to do too. It's like, look, this is what I really think. I may be stupid, it may be wrong, but like, I'm not giving you some agenda-driven opinion, you know. And I think, I mean, you know, another great example, of course, would be like Skip Bayless, and like LeBron James could like do whatever, and he'll still find a way. But that's almost like still trying to justify previous bad takes of his own. You know, I mean, that whole thing is really convoluted. And I think you mentioned Finebaum. There are times when I think, you know, maybe a little bit too much of an SEC honk. I mean, you've got the network, like the Big Ten Network, SEC Network, and I see some of them on Twitter, and it's like, you're not a flack for, you know, for the network. Like, you know, you gotta, it's okay to say like this particular team in the league is not doing well, or maybe the league's down this year or whatever. I mean, I just don't see how it's bad to say that, but some people seem to think like it's just all about protecting the product and the brand, and I tune those people out. I mean, that makes me want to not listen to people who do that.
Do you think overall, and I don't know, I guess the simple question is, do you think overall people, sports fans, obviously is what we're talking about, but this sort of broadens out to the rest of the country as well, do you think we are dumber than we think, or do you think we're smarter than we think? Like, do you think people are smarter, or does that make sense? Because I think a lot of times we broad and generalize, say, oh, people are just so dumb out there, or, man, they're smart. And, you know, Nick, you just said it. Like, hey, people are smarter than you think. And I want to believe that we are smarter than we're acting, but what do you get?
Yeah, I think people are smarter than we think. I think Twitter makes us think they're dumber than we think. If that makes any sense, Twitter casts a dumb light on really all of us, actually. And so, but no, I mean, I think just like with a lot of things where, you know, a particular fan base, you know, the most vocal and most active on Twitter will say one thing, and you're like, man, this whole fan base thinks this. But actually, no, it's probably like 70% of the fans have a more level-headed, reasonable, intelligent take. They're just not screaming on Twitter. So that's where I struggle sometimes, because if you use that website to tell you what fans think, you've got to really think hard about it and say, is this just, you know, the people who are on here all day saying ridiculous stuff?
Now, Joe, it's crazy how the tide can turn in regards to college sports. And I'm talking UT and Vandy. Not too long ago, we were talking about, you know, Pruitt as, is he the guy for the job? This program is in shambles. You know, they lost to Georgia State, and everything seemed to be going, you know, trending downward for Pruitt. Well, he won some games. His team was on the verge of possibly winning 7 to 8 games this season, and now everything seems peachy creamy. On the other side, on West End, we talk glowingly about Derek Mason and how, you know, despite, you know, not having the support, he's still getting his team to play. They're not winning games. We're not winning as many games, but that's a hard program to win at. But now, you know, it's being said that he might not even be the coach for Vanderbilt next season. So the tide has totally changed on both coaches. What are you hearing in regards to Derek Mason, because I like Derek, and I haven't hid that. But we've also brought him on the show, and we've asked him the tough questions. You know, what's wrong with your team? How do you get the team motivated? What, you know, how do you, you know, keep the noise about you potentially getting fired? How do you keep that out of the coach's office as well as the locker room? So we've asked him these tough questions. What are you hearing in regards to Derek Mason?
Yeah, it's amazing to think how, I mean, think back to like after week one, Tennessee loses to Georgia State. Vanderbilt really hangs in there pretty well against Georgia. And it's like, oh, man, I mean, in September, there was a point where I was like, man, Vanderbilt's just going to blow out Tennessee again, aren't they? And now I think the opposite is going to happen. You know, the one thing that I want to know about Derek Mason is the number, and that's the thing that no one has, and that's the number of what is the buyout number if a move is made. And of course, they just fired Bryce Drew. That's costly. Whenever you fire a coach with years left on a contract, you know, that's money. And as we know, Vanderbilt financially with athletics, I mean, you know, there are concerns. There's a lot of work to be done there. So that is something that, you know, is a big part of this. I don't feel confident saying either way he's going to be gone or not after this season. But I think anyone who thinks it's done, signed, sealed, delivered either way, I think that would be a mistake. I mean, I still think these Saturdays ahead mean something. And that's a lot of hard thinking for Malcolm Turner ahead, because, you know, you don't necessarily want to come in and just fire everyone in your first year. But at the same time, what's the cost of having Derek Mason next year if, you know, this season ends up 3-9?
Rex, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Sign up for a subscription and a membership to The Athletic. Real objective journalism, unless, Rexrode, you got a column coming up that has Sparty going 13-0 in college football next year. Then we'd have to question your objectivity.
Or that In-N-Out Burger is somehow good.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Oh, man. Oh, Marquise, you got to get on him after this stuff. My goodness.
Dude, it's amazing. It's overrated, man.
Oh, it's so
overrated.
Good stuff, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Joe Rexrode joining us.
Read David Ubbin's column, The Mailbag, about lately, the latest one. I know Rex does some work with him at The Athletic. He did a mailbag. Some fast food was involved in there, but also an incredibly important answer by David Ubbin about journalism and reporting. He was asked about how hard it is to get information on the quarterback battle at Tennessee because coaches don't give you any information. Mm-hmm. And he gave a really, I think, extremely important answer that most fans need to listen to and read.
Jared in Florida will be broadcasting live at Logo Brands at 117 Southeast Parkway in Franklin for their warehouse sale today from 2 to 6 p.m. Stop on out, a fun shopping experience with deals on gear for your favorite teams from college, the NFL, the NBA, NASCAR, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NHL, and more. Shop their over 200,000 square foot warehouse full of team gear. And coming up on Thursday, November the 14th, which is today, they've got their VIP shopping day and tickets are required. Back after this on Morning Drive.
Men, listen up. I've been telling you this for a while now about my friends over at Cool Screens MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, his wife Daphne, and along with that experienced and likable staff, give you the treatment required to improve their quality of life, your quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men at the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I'm in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And who doesn't want that? What man doesn't want a healthier lifestyle or an enriched lifestyle? And there's no better time now to achieve that. Man, what are you waiting on? Get Cool Springs MD a call today. Make that appointment. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until this weekend. Make the appointment today, because here's the number, because you need it. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. Right now, time for Coffee with the Coach as we welcome in your head coach of the Nashville Predators, Peter Laviolette. Coach, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Sorry for being late. I thought thought maybe I was still on Central Time or West Coast Time or the clocks got set back or I thought I was somewhere else. So.
No worries. It's all good. Let's get into the recent woes. I know you can't be too happy right now. Three in a row, five of the last six. Probably not the road trip that you had envisioned when you embarked on it. Where are you at right now with your team as far as some of the issues and what you're not liking on the ice?
Well, obviously there was a stinker in there that we're not real happy about. You know, the Colorado game, I think we were looking for a lot more with regard to the way we played the game, and that didn't happen. So, you know, we tried to make some corrections in how we went about our business in the next couple games, and I do think that there was improvement. San Jose was a game that we played hard. I think it's always hard going into San Jose's building. They got a veteran team, and they're playing actually really well right now. Went in there and battled them and ended up losing in a shootout. So that game gets skewed a little bit just by the fact that, you know, had you won the shootout, you'd feel really, really good about that game. Go in and keep a low-scoring game and get that second point. It didn't go our way. So always disappointing to kick up a point. And then the last game, I thought the first period, I thought that they had some jump. They had lost three in a row. I thought we had contained them by the end of the first, and we fought back in a game a couple times. I really liked the way we played the second and third period, and it ended up getting away from us. There were some things we're talking about, from a standpoint where we could be a little bit better, but five-on-five, we had lots of chances to try and make a difference in that game in the second and third period, and it didn't happen. So that was disappointing. That was a tough loss. Our guys were ready to play, and we didn't get it done. So we're back home now and look to get things moving back in the right direction on Saturday night.
Hey, Coach, the last time we had you on, I asked you sort of what is the most surprising thing that you've sort of experienced so far through the young season, and you said, you know, we were giving up too many goals. And Now you've got 7 games out of 18 where you've given up at least 5 goals. You know, Dante Fabbro's a young player. He's going to get better. Can you kind of take us into the weeds a little bit and as far as a strategy standpoint? How does a coaching staff work on developing a defensive game plan to show improvement over the course of a year?
Well, I think you do have to break it down into segments. When I had that conversation, it was early in the year, and I think we were giving up too much. And again, there's no excuse for the Colorado game. That's unacceptable by all standards and by all accounts. We have to be better than that, especially against a division opponent when we know that at the end of the day, that's who we could be, you know, sizing up and facing down for the division or in a playoff round. And so there's no excuses on that one. Now, they scored an empty net goal to get to the mark that you're talking about last game, 4-3 ball game. And they throw an empty netter. And prior to that, there's a lot of numbers that have come way down. The San Jose, there's a lot of one goal games or zero games or even 2-goal games in the last 10 to 12 games where we really like what we've done defensively. And we have trimmed the numbers back and and got the numbers pushing in our direction. So from a zone play and a quality scoring chance situation and even a goals against situation, there's a lot of good things I think in the last 10 games compared to when I was talking about that at the start of the year. So again, we're not going to make any excuses for a tough game like Colorado. It's just unacceptable and we need to be better, but there's a lot of positives. If you look at the shutouts and the 1-goal games and the 2-goal games, a lot of good things that we did defensively where I do feel like we're getting better.
Now, Coach, would you say, because we had this discussion earlier this morning and then yesterday, in regards to if you are a team that's struggling to score points, it may be a little bit harder to get that going rather than a team that's struggling to play good defense, because I think defense is more so attention to detail, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and then just you know, it's about working extra harder, you know, motivation, wanting to do, because I say in football, blocking, everybody can block, it's just a want to. You just got to want to block if you're a wide receiver. Now, if you don't want to block, you're not going to be a good blocker. I think that's the same way with defense in regards to hockey. I think if you have the players, which I believe you do, it's a want to. It's a attention to detail. Do the little things, because eventually throughout this long season, it will all kind of circle back around and we will become one of the better defensive teams in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that defense is a, you know, it's a commitment to the little things, right? Mm-hmm. As always, you have to. There's a lot of details that go into playing good defense. So, I would agree with you with regard to that. But again, I think when you look at it, you have to look at the block that we're in. Mm-hmm. From a defensive standpoint, you know, you can go back. excuse me. You can go back. I don't know, maybe 10 games or 11 games. So, you know, you give up a couple goals, two goals against, one goal against, zero goals against, two goals against, zero goals against, and then the Calgary game, we ended up giving up that bad third period, and then, you know, again going back to two goals against, one goal against, and then the Colorado game. So if you look at go back and take a look at it, mm-hmm. inside of it, the Colorado game is, and even the third period of Calgary, there are a couple of big blunders, but there's a segment of games where I really like what we did defensively. Even in the game in Vancouver, we gave up one 5-on-5 goal. And so defensively, 5-on-5, we were good. There are other situations that we come in here today and we're trying to address. And, you know, why did we end up giving 3 on the power play to Vancouver and they score the empty net? So there's things that we're looking at from that standpoint. But, you know, when I made those comments back before about the 5-on-5 play, they were because we were giving up 5-on-5 goals, and it was the so many odd man rushes and so many breakaways, and we just kept pressing offensively, and we need to bring the guys back and layer them and do a better job in the defensive zone. So it's there's certainly a couple of games in there that you wish you could have done a better job in, but there's probably 10 games where I really liked what we did 5-on-5 defensively recently, and we're going to try to build off of that.
Coach, you alluded to the penalty kill. Let's go to the other side of the equation, the power play. It's certainly been improved this year. It's been very exciting at times to watch. Obviously, the addition of Dan Lambert is looking like it's paying off. I know you're a very busy man, but I just wanted to inform you, I did go on air and say, because I am in love with the production on the power play from Dan Lambert, that I will end up getting a tattoo of Dan Lambert on my body if you guys finish in the top 5 this year in the power play. So I just wanted to share that enlightening information with you and wish you continued success on the power play at the expense of my own body.
I think you guys are ranked 10th now, I believe, 10th or 11th. So you're moving up. You're moving up.
There's definitely been some good. You talk about motivation. I'm always up for embarrassing myself a little bit. And clearly, you will be too. If you're going to put a picture of Dan Lambert on your right buttocks, like I'm kind of excited about that. So
I was going to ask.
You talk about motivation and challenges. Game on for that one.
We were trying to figure out where he should put it and what he should do.
I think right buttocks would be
right buttocks.
I don't think that you want Dan's face like front center on your bicep. You know what I mean? You're going to need to hide it a little bit.
We call it the lamb stamp.
Yes,
for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah,
Coach, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck. You got a big couple of games coming up here before Thanksgiving. Continued success, and we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Peter LaViolette. Now, I think he listens to the show.
Yeah.
Because he immediately went right butt cheek, which is something we've talked about on the show.
Yeah.
Right butt cheek. He might be right about that.
And I was hoping you were going to ask him about that because I was about to do it. And see, hey, Coach, where would you put a tattoo of Dan Lambert's face if you had to do it?
Okay, this is what I want to know, though. If you're going to put it on the maybe I shouldn't say it.
No, go, man.
Okay, if you're going to put it on the right butt cheek, is that the butt cheek that you get whacked?
Well, no, my parents have passed away. They no longer spank me for acting up.
Not your parents.
Well, what I do in my private life is not arable.
What are you talking about? Go to
Be glad you hear about my gambling and my Tito stories. You don't need to hear about the other stories.
God,
it's
almighty,
a family program.
Do mama spank you?
What's the matter with you?
I mean, this is grown folks radio, but come on.
Yeah, if I don't take the trash cans out on garbage day, yes, I get spanked. Yeah, happy?
God bless, Derek. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, if I don't do the dishes before 5 o'clock, yes, I get spanked.
Let me slap Dan Lambert in the face. Whop.
How about that, though? Peter LaViolette, not a fan of Dan Lambert's mug. I don't think Dan Lambert's an ugly guy by any stretch.
No, it's not about that. It's about...
It's just about being on your right butt.
Just, he wants to be able to cover another grown man's face on your body.
Yeah.
That's just what
you gotta hide it. That's what he's saying. Right, no. But I like... It's the right buttocks, not the left
not
buttocks.
Not the left, right. The right.
Exactly.
Right one.
He's right. Your right hand dominant.
That way when
so
you look,
your right butt cheek dominant.
So when you look in the mirror, it's facing the other direction.
Yeah. Like when I sit on the toilet, I am butt cheek right cheek heavy. I lean to the right.
Can you imagine being tattooed on someone else's butt?
Oh butt my goodness!
Going to the bathroom.
But you wouldn't be able to use the bathroom. You wouldn't be able to sit down for a while if you get
that's
tattooed. Right.
Be a little
good
sore.
Point, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's actually an episode of Married with Children.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Are you
serious? No,
we can talk about that when we come back.
Of course it is.
Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. Stay there. Right now, it's your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Blue Raiders football as MTSU will host Old Dominion on Saturday, November the 23rd at Floyd Stadium. Just be calling number 5 right now, 615-737-1025. So, the tattoo story.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're getting tweets about this as well.
There's no way this is real.
What do you mean?
About what you're about to read.
Okay.
There's no way this is real.
Man Card Matt DeLuga on Twitter sends us a tweet. He says, good morning, guys, as he always does. A very polite individual.
Yeah,
loves the show.
We appreciate that, Man Card.
For the record, I have a tattoo on each butt cheek, and there are no issues sitting right after. I have, quote, your name on the left cheek and, quote, 100% USDA prime beef on the right side.
That's not real.
He said he was going to send his pics.
I don't want pictures.
I want
to see the pics.
I want to see
it. Yeah, Matt, don't tag me. Tag Braden in there.
Tag him.
Send a photo to the three of us of the your name percentage 100% USDA prime beef tattoo you have on your rump.
Wow.
I don't believe it.
Do you think, if he has it, if it indeed is there, do you think he went and got the tattoo sober?
I mean, the odds are probably like
or he
no,
was just like, yeah, let's get tattoos.
No is like -180. Yes is like +200.
See, but this is like proof that you can't judge anybody based off their Twitter because Matt sends us a greeting every morning, and I never would have thought that he would have both butt cheeks tattooed.
Man.
I don't believe that he has your name and USDA prime beef tattooed on his rear end.
Yeah,
I don't believe it. I want to see it.
So then I guess TV is not true and what you see on television is not reality because in the episode of Married with Children that I alluded to with the butt tattoo, so it's Jefferson and Marcy's anniversary. And Marcy goes to work and all Jefferson has to do is be home, have dinner because Jefferson doesn't have a job.
Yeah,
he's a freeloader.
Yeah.
So he just has to be home, have dinner ready and be ready to have a nice candlelight dinner with Marcy. So Al and the No Ma'am guys take off of work for the day. They go over. They say, Jefferson, don't worry. We'll have you home in time for your anniversary, but it's some type of special at the nudie bar today.
Uh-huh.
So they go to the strip club. They are all intoxicated, and it's like 4 o'clock, and Jefferson's like, well, what time is it? And Al goes, it's 4 o'clock. He's like, oh, I got to get home and get Marcy your anniversary gift.
Uh-huh.
And there's a tattoo artist in the house. So the tattoo guy says, nothing is better for your anniversary than a tattoo that says, I love Marcy.
Uh-huh.
So Jefferson goes in the back of the strip club and gets a tattoo. The only issue is the tattoo doesn't say, I love Marcy.
It says, I love Marty.
I remember that.
So
he goes home, and she ends up sticking her foot right up his keister. And he has to go to get the boot surgically removed from his butt at the hospital. But the whole thing about sitting on the tattoo was Jefferson didn't realize that he got a tattoo done. He's like pulling up his sleeves. He's like, I know I got tattoos done. And then he sat down on his butt and screamed in pain.
It is real.
Oh, geez. So he did send it. Wow.
He sent a photo of some skin.
And, of course, he tagged me.
And it says USDA 100% prime.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the thing, though. When he typed it into the tweet, it wasn't accurate from what was actually written on
his butt.
His buttocks. Now, I haven't seen the your name on the other side yet.
I don't know if we should be proud of our audience or a little worried.
I love our audience.
Oh, okay.
But we just had one of our audience members send us a picture of his butt.
Hey, that's because they're listening, man.
So the one stamp is the
kind of scared.
The USDA 100% prime, like the official logo with like the crest and everything. The other one's like your name in like script cursive on the other cheek at an angle. That's very...
Was he intoxicated when he got that?
Were you intoxicated, Matt, when you did this?
Yes. And no sober man can go to a...
You know what, though?
Well, it looks like he's at the gym now taking selfies in the mirror. This isn't good.
Here's what we got to do. Matt,
this is devolving quickly.
You're obviously listening. I don't know if you're listening on the radio, on the app, whatever way you're listening.
Stone cold sober.
Because he's literally... This is like play-by-play of radio versus Twitter.
He's stone cold sober. And we'll have more elsewhere covered except above the neck and below the wrist.
Matt, we got Stick to Sports coming up next, but if you can call in at 9 o'clock this morning and walk us through this process, I think it would be next level bi-week radio.
Oh, wow. It would be great.
Bi-week radio.
Titans are on a bye. Vols are on a bye.
Preds hit like the whole week off.
Yeah. We're not going to come on here and say the Preds need to start making trades and blowing things up. So we'll talk about tattoos.
Man, that is just unbelievable.
Wow.
Some things people do. The things people do.
Well, I need to know the line of thinking here.
Yes,
like,
me too.
What was it that you were like?
Did you
like,
go by yourself? Did you go with some boys?
I mean,
what happened?
Well, the joke about the your name thing, right, is like you always walk up to someone who's like, yeah, I got your name tattooed on my ass. You know, like that's the whole line. Like,
but,
no, literally, I've got your name tattooed on.
Because it's your name.
Did you go by yourself?
Your name.
And was it if I did go by myself or I went with the boys, did I know as I was going that this is what I'm getting?
I would hope I have better friends than that. They would be like, don't do that.
No,
don't put that on your
real
butt.
Friends tell you to do it.
Oh, really?
Yes, real friends tell you because they want to make fun of you forever.
That is accurate.
Well, no, because they had to go there, and then obviously he's like, yeah, I'm going to get Nick. He's like, oh, your Uncle Nick that passed away? No, Nick Kale, Morning Drive.
No, he doesn't have Nick Kale on his buttocks. He has...
Your name.
Yeah, your name.
Marquise, we were talking about
Nick's name?
No, no, it's actually the words, your name.
Nick Marquise.
That sucks.
Great response.
Stick to Sports coming up next. Matt Card, Matt DeLuga, 9 o'clock. We'll go to the jungle. It's going to be great. Epic.
I'm supposed to talk to you guys about Xfinity right now.
Do it.
But I don't know how to do
talk
that.
Talk about the other guys.
We're not using the other guys anymore. We're just getting Xfinity tattooed on our rear ends. That's all we're doing here. Oh, holy smokes. Okay, so Wi-Fi, Xfinity Home, security, mobile. They've got you covered, but of course their bread and butter is their TV right in the house there. I got because of my Wi-Fi, because of my great Xfinity coverage and service, I got the Disney Plus app all hooked up and ready to go. It's all tied directly into my voice remote, so I can just say Disney Plus, and boom, there up pops my app for Disney Plus, and the girls are all over it. It's great for the little kids. The wife's excited about it because she gets to watch old movies that I don't care about. It's great. And listen, this is what Xfinity does for you. They're the complete home service package. It takes care of all your Wi-Fi needs, all your home security needs, all your mobile needs, all your TV needs, all in one place. Put it all together, write one check, you're good to go. Boom, they got tons of different options of speeds of internet, tons of different services for the TV. You can get all kinds of channel packages and, of course, great apps as well. Keeps everything running smoothly and all the family happy. All the different Wi-Fi technological advancements they've made where you can pause it and turn it off and set curfew and check your enhanced network protection, all that good stuff, man. They've got the whole thing. Xfinity.com is the website. 1-800-XFINITY is the phone number, or pop into an Xfinity store today for more details. We're not using the other guys anymore. We're only using Xfinity.
It is a Morning Drive. A lot of people listening right now laughing their butts off, including the constable.
Literally
laughing
their
butts off. No pun
intended. Yeah.
Good stuff. Hal Gill, 9:30 this morning. The big finish 1 hour from now. Matt will check in with us at 9 o'clock. We'll go deep into the weeds.
I don't want to go deep into this.
Mm-hmm. We'll go deep into...
He said he was with his lady and his mom.
Ooh.
This is weirder by the second.
Yeah, that's weird. That is really weird.
And he was sober.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of sober, let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
All that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, D-Mace, you've got your smoothie, you got your protein shake, and you're ready to go. And Stick to Sports is brought to you by...
The good folks that decorated in interior. Stick with the pros that decorate in den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, outdoor spaces, request a complimentary, which is free in this world, appointment at decoratingden.com. And you can even get the tattoo on your buttocks. DecoratingDen.com on your buttocks so you never forget.
Bonnie would be very happy.
Absolutely.
Number one.
All right, so when you guys go to fast food joints, be careful what you order.
I don't go either.
Yeah,
because... I do.
Because, look, here's a story. In South Carolina, a South Carolina man went to a McDonald's, and he ordered a sweet tea and asked for extra lemon. So, apparently, at this McDonald's, extra lemon means marijuana. So, they put 3 bags of marijuana in his sweet tea.
That makes
sense.
Then
he drank it.
They all start going to fast food restaurants.
Yeah, he drank it, and then all of a sudden, he quoted to say, "I was high as a kite." Afterwards, so
what it really puts my my mix up into perspective when I made lemonades with salt instead of sugar.
Yeah,
that was funny.
It's kind of hard to mistake, you know, lemon wedges for marijuana.
Yeah,
lemon, but, some lemon.
Somebody was messing with them. Somebody got him good.
Isn't there a lemon like strand or something? It's got a lemon name in it. Lemon Diesel or something?
I don't have no idea, man. I'm not the foremost expert on marijuana.
I think these names are like fantasy football team names. Like the names they give these products, it's hilarious. How many lemonades did you mix with salt?
Oh, it had to be 3 dozen.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I spent a good hour just wasting my life.
40 kids' lemonades filled with sugar and not salt.
Goodness.
Brutal.
Yes. Proud moment.
Yeah, I know it was.
It really made me bond with my in-laws.
Yeah, bond in a way you don't want to bond. Exactly. You want to bond you right over your head.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
It was very hot that day, too. I had to use a little gold bond when I got done working.
Jeez.
Speaking of bond.
Stop it.
Not James Bond.
All right, so I respect the honesty of this Florida man because he was caught speeding 55 miles an hour or over the speed limit.
Damn, where was he going?
Guess where he was going? He was going home. He was rushing home because he told the cops that he was cheating on his wife. So he was trying to rush home afterwards, after the fact. So he admitted that, you know, he was reckless driving because he was rushing home to, you know, tell his wife, I guess, I guess his wife expected him home at a certain time and he didn't go because he was cheating. So kudos to him for the honesty, but probably wouldn't
have you
told anybody that.
Have you ever been in this? Well, you've been somewhere in kind of like the Marcy thing with
Jefferson,
and it's like, oh my goodness, what time is it? I'm supposed to be home. Then you rush home. Those moments where you've told your wife or girlfriend or the kids, okay, I will be home at this time because we'll be leaving at X time.
Oh, I got one for you.
And you lose track of time, and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, my goodness. And you jump in the car, and you're like, I got to get home fast.
And that whole drive home, you're going,
exactly.
Oh, crap.
Exactly. You're trying to think of everything.
You're like,
My wife and I, like, it was 2015. Mm-hmm. We had tickets to go see Bill Maher, his show. And I was golfing. It was a Sunday. I was golfing that day. We had to be at the show probably like it was a 6 o'clock show. We were going to do dinner first at like 4:30. I needed to be home by 3 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I had a 10:15 tee time.
How well were you playing?
I played terrible, like most days. But like we didn't get done until about 2:30. And then we went in and had a couple of drinks in the clubhouse. And I looked at my phone and it was like 3:07.
Oh,
and I'm
goodness.
35 minutes from my house.
Oh, man.
Oh, I never drove so fast in my life. And I was scared.
You were trying to think of every excuse, like, what can I say
when
I get in
the
house? Oh,
like, I can't even say, oh, I shot 82, so I was really just sulking in the moment. Uh-huh. Like, it was a bad round of golf. I should have just gotten the car and went home immediately.
Yeah, you should have. But that's, like, the worst feeling.
Oh, and she was
driving home, and you know you're supposed to have been home 45 minutes ago, and you're thinking of everything.
Yeah, I'm trying
to. What can I say? Like, oh, my goodness. Do I just walk in the house and get ready? Do I say, baby, it's my fault? What do I do?
Take your medicine. Take the beating.
You just go upstairs and get ready.
Take the L and move on. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've done that one yet. I don't think I've... My wife, on the other hand...
All right, let's go. Share the story.
Okay.
You alluded to it.
I will. So, like, during the football season, she'll take the girls, and before we had kids, she'd go down and, like, hang out with her mom or her friends or whatever. And I would say, like, all right, hey, what time you think you coming back? And she'll go, oh, probably like 3-4-ish. And like, I'll send a text message around 3 or 4-ish and be like, hey, is the plan still this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I won't hear back from her.
Ooh.
And then like 6 o'clock rolls around and I'm still watching football, which is fine with me. I have no problems with this. She is the worst about saying when she's going to be somewhere on a weekend and then showing up like hours late. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't care because I'm just sitting there in a, quiet, peaceful home watching football. It's wonderful for me. But she cannot get out of her family's houses to save her life without 2.5 hours going by, and then all of a sudden they're in the same situation you are. Now, the difference is that she's got the kids.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
I have a bad habit of, if I know, like, if I, well, I guess it's sort of a bad, it's not a bad habit now, it used to be, where if I had to be home, say, at 4, because we had somewhere to go, and I would always look at the clock and say, okay, I would always try to map it out or time it out just perfectly. Okay, if I stay 10 more minutes, I can leave now and make it home in 10, 15 minutes and then get ready and we can leave. And you keep pushing that time back further and further to a point where you're like, oh, hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, what do I do now?
But, I mean, as far as going home on time, too, like, I had to fight this battle with my wife for multiple years. Like, I've been an avid golfer since 2013. Uh-huh. It wasn't until, like, 2016 or 2017 where I finally said, look, I've been golfing for 4 years. There's no shot clock. There's no quarters. There's no running clock.
Oh, I've had this talk.
I can't tell you if golf's going to take 3 hours or 5 hours based on my play, slow people in front of me. Don't text me when I'm on the 12th hole asking how much longer. I don't know.
It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours.
It's so funny because I'm not nearly the golfer as avid as you are, Nick, but I had this conversation like last year with my wife.
Brutal.
Because she was like, well, how long do you think it's going to be? And I was like, she goes, what time do you think it'll be back? I was like, about 2. Because it was like a 10 o'clock tee time, right? So I was just I always just guess 4 hours.
Yep.
And I was running late, and I was home about 45 minutes later, and she just read me the riot act on like why I was an hour late, an hour late. And I go, honey, it's around a golf. Like you can't, like you get, it's about 4 hours. Sometimes you get done. Like I've gotten done with golf in like 3 hours before.
Sure.
You're playing fast, and there's not a lot of people on the course. Like you get done, and you're home, and boom, it's great, and you. Like, I played a round this year where I was the only person on the course on the
glorious.
Back nine. Uh-huh. I was playing at Two Rivers Ford, I think, and I – or not Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers –
well, if you were golfing at a car dealership, that's really impressive.
I was at Two Rivers. No, what's the name of the golf course? Two Rivers. Two Rivers.
Yeah, Two Rivers.
So, Three Rivers.
It's not Hermitage, but, you know, it'll
it's not as good as Hermitage. So it's a muni course, but I'm playing, and I'm the only person on the course, and I'm done in like 2.5 hours,
that's
which
good.
Is great. Yeah. And so I'm home and like, oh, she's like, you're home early. That one time that we got backed up and we were slow and it's 45 minutes late. She's like, what happened? You said 4 hours. I go, dude, I can't tell you how long a golf round is going to be. You just don't know.
Did you ever dude your wife?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. But I say, this is weird. I got this from Band of Brothers. There's one character from Band of Brothers that calls every other dude babe. I can't remember which one he is in Band of Brothers. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
No? Okay. So Band of Brothers is all about World War II, you know. There's this one guy from, like, New York who's, like, the short New York guy, and he calls everybody babe. He calls all the dudes babe. So I view guys, babe, and dude as non-gender.
Universal.
Like, I use them as universal pronouns or whatever they are. I don't know.
I would just love to see you golf at a car dealership.
That's hard. Major, I would love to see that.
I'm going
to
hit my 7-iron into this Ford Explorer.
Is it Three Rivers? No, I can't remember.
Three
Rivers
Stadium. Three Rivers Stadium.
Yeah, okay.
The old stadium.
Is that
do
Cincinnati?
You golf by yourself?
No. No, I have pride. I feel like people can't do it by themselves. I can't do it. I need competition.
Alone? You can't just go out there and say, I need
competition and I need integrity. Because if I'm golfing by myself, then I'm going to grab a mulligan on a bad shot, and it's not going to be an authentic score.
But it's like practice. You're practicing.
But I'll just go to the range. Are you honest then? Like, so this round that I played, I played with one guy in the front nine, and then he had to leave. And then I literally had the entire back nine to myself. And I played a pretty good round, but I was honest with my score. If I missed a 4-foot putt for par, I said, crap, that's a bogey. Like,
okay.
I was pretty honest about it, but I played a good round. So,
all right, that's it for Stick to Sports. Let's actually squeeze a call in here. It's funny how Stick to Sports is now involving callers. This is kind of a new trend. I kind of like this, which means our conversation resonates with people. Yeah.
They love us.
They love us.
Butt tattoos coming up top of the hour.
Exactly. Doug has got some thoughts on timing and wives. Doug, you go ahead.
How many wives you got,
Doug? Hey, guys. Wait, guys are not really good in conversations over the phone, but I don't know if your wives do this at all. My wife has a favorite aunt down in Baymanette, Alabama. If they get on the phone together, the over and under is 3.5 hours before
they
hang up. I mean, all I can do is text. If I'm going to get on the phone call, I'm going to grunt, and we're going to make it done in like 3 minutes. But I just want to hear if you guys have any problems like that one.
Wow. I don't have any 3.5 minute problems. I'll say, I don't think I've talked on the phone for 3.5 hours in all of 2019.
Yeah,
combined.
I don't want to talk for 3.5 hours, and I do a 4 hour show every day.
Talking on the phone is the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah.
It all depends.
He's
going
to grunt, and then after 3.5 minutes, it's going to be over.
Like yesterday, I don't mind talking to my daughter because she tells me everything.
And she's far away. You don't get to see her.
Yeah, and she basically just.
I mean, I used to do that in high school.
But like, I talked to my brother called me yesterday, and he and I don't mind talking to him because he's just hilarious. And then he just talks. But him talking, he has good conversation.
That's why you can work with me.
Like, he just talks. He has good conversation.
So he's funny and talkative. So your brother is basically me and Braden combined?
Exactly. And then he tells me about the kids. And then he tells me, because he's a math teacher at in high school in Detroit. So he tells me about, you know,
that's where you get all your dad jokes.
And kids and stuff. So I like listening to him. But then I got one brother that he just talks and talks and talks. And talks and talks and talks. And it's like, dude, stop.
So you did get it. You do get the natural talkative thing then. It sounds like your family's got a lot of talkers.
Yeah, like I got, yeah. Well, it's good talk, and then there's just talk just to be talking.
Right.
I don't know.
I can deal with the good talk.
Did Mr. Bruno like your brothers?
Yeah.
Or were you his favorite?
I was the youngest at the time. I might have been his favorite.
I could tell. Yeah.
I might have been.
What do you think Derek's going to say? He's everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I am.
All right, see? final hour coming up.
I roll out of bed, handsome.
We will cover it all from football to Hal Gill to the big finish to how a butt tattoo originates. That's next on Morning Drive.